I don't know about you guys. I'm just saying that the lights are going to come back on. I'm not going to preach in the dark. But unless you guys want that to happen. That gets me so incredibly pumped up. And if one of you is just by a light switch in the back of your mind. A lot of you were taking this as an occasion to take a nap, and that's fine. I understand you and God know what you need, so if you need a nap. Anyway, so for 3 weeks this August, we are venturing to find Jesus in the movies, exploring how some films intersect so beautifully with our Christian identity. And so this morning, we are looking at Disney's The Lion King, which is so exciting. Disney's The Lion King first lit up the silver screen in 1994. I was 7 years old. And I knew then that this was a life-changing movie. Perhaps just not in the ways, that I know now, right? It is, for those of you who don't know, The Lion King is an epic coming-of-age story about a young lion named Simba. And despite being categorized as an animated children's film, The Lion King has this amazing ability to speak deeply into our situations, no matter our age, which is perhaps why The Lion King has remained so popular. It has made a trip back to the movie theaters to be shown in 3D, and it has even been written to be a Broadway musical, which just happens to be here in Charlotte until September 1st. And I know Chris went to go see it last night, and I tried to get him to sing The Circle of Life in the first service, and he just wasn't doing it. I don't know why. But I have, I've chosen this film for us this morning because I really do believe that The Lion King can speak in powerful ways and deliver a necessary message for us as Christians. It's a message about our baptisms, a message about, and there certainly are numerous messages in The Lion King, but this morning, it's a message about our baptisms. It's a message about who our baptisms say we are, the identity that is given to us, and about the call to live into our baptism. So in this wondrous opening scene that we've just seen, we are invited to join the animals of the Pride Lands in a spectacular event, in the presentation of the future king, Simba. And as the crowds of animals gather around, and Rafiki, who is like the community pastor, and I told Chris is Rafiki in like 20 years. as the community pastor comes around, we see the current king and queen, Mufasa and Sarabi, and they have with them the young cub, Simba. It begins to look a whole lot like a baptism, doesn't it? I mean, we have the parents who are oohing and aahing over their baby, and we have the community who's gathered around, and all of you have been here for an infant baptism before, know that the parents are oohing and aahing over the baby, and the community is gathered, right? And so, in baptism, we are initiated into the church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. And so, in other words, in baptism, we become a part of a community. And a claim is placed on our lives for where our identity truly lies. God claims us as God's beloved children. God cleanses us of all that is not of Him. And He gives us a new life in Christ. And we are then set free to reveal God's kingdom on earth. All this says that our life has a purpose: to be witnesses to God's redeeming love. So in this opening scene, Simba is initiated into the circle of life, which in this movie I think can serve as a strong representation for the kingdom of God. And then he receives this outward and visible sign of what is being proclaimed over him, right? When Rafiki anoints him with some sort of juice and sprinkles dust over his head. And a claim is put on Simba's life that he shall one day be king. This is who Simba is. Simba's identity is in the circle of life, and his life's purpose is to serve this kingdom. The presentation of Simba defines who Simba is. Simba is king, and our baptisms define who we are. We are God's, And as Paul indicates in his letter to the Romans, we are dead to sin and alive with Christ. So what we need to grasp hold of this morning is that these things are true of us, whether or not we ever live into them. Let's say that again. These things are true of us, whether or not we ever live into them. And what we can come to understand this morning, and maybe all of us have had experiences within our life already, is that there will be events, and there will be experiences, and there will be times that call us to question our convictions about who God says we are in our baptism, right? There are events that can take place in our life that might lead us astray from living into who God says we really are. And this happens in the film with Simba. While Simba was still a young cub, his uncle Scar, who's his evil uncle, he tragically kills his father, Mufasa. You see, Scar was envious of Mufasa's place as king. And he was envious also of Simba's place in line to become the future king. And so Scar orchestrated this whole event in which he killed Mufasa. And then he convinced Simba that it was all his fault. And Simba is overcome with fear and guilt and shame and confusion. And he looks at Scar and he says, "What should I do?" And Scar looks at Simba and he says, "Run away. Run away and never come back." And so Simba runs into the desert, never to return home. And actually, Scar sends a pack of hyenas after him to kill him, but they were unsuccessful. So Simba just wanders in the desert all alone, and on the brink of death, two unlikely friends come and befriend Simba. Their names are Timon and Pumbaa. And recognizing Simba's guilt and their shame, Timon and Pumbaa convince Simba to live according to a new phrase, to a new way of life. Hakuna Matata, right? It means no worries. And Timon and Pumbaa tell Simba to forget about his past. Forget about all the things that are bothering you. Forget about what responsibilities you might have had, and forget about all the things that you think you did that were wrong. Hakuna Matata, no worries. Timon says to Simba, he says, "When the world turns its back on you, you turn your back on the world." And at first, this movie makes this Hakuna Matata lifestyle seem really attractive and really appealing. But what we realize is that Hakuna Matata and the lifestyle that comes with it is really about being apathetic. It's about saying, rather than no worries, it's about saying, who cares? Who cares to the world? Who cares to responsibility, to our past, to who we're really called to be? And so Simba, from the young age of a cub to becoming a grown lion, grows up not worrying. He grows up suppressing within him feelings associated with his past. And he had run away from a life that he had once had, right? And in doing so, Simba demonstrates that it's possible to live a life that is completely different from who we really are, right? Simba demonstrates that it's really possible to live a life that's completely different from who we really are. So in the midst of this story of Simba, we can ask ourselves this question. What about us? Are some of us right now living differently from who we really are? And if so, what has brought us to the point where we are living different from who God says we are? For some of us, it might be guilt and shame. We are so ashamed of what we have done in our past, and potentially still what we're doing presently, that we have crippled ourselves into thinking that we can never live up to who God has actually created and redeemed us to be. We think that there's no way, no matter how hard we try, that we can ever become that person. And we have tricked ourselves into somehow thinking and living under the delusion that our sin is somehow the exception to the truth, that God's grace is greater than all of our sin, right? And like Simba, we have allowed Satan, who is like Uncle Scar, who Uncle Scar is like, right, to trick us into thinking that we really can never amount to anything, that our sin defines who we are. For some of us, we might be in this place and living differently from who we are because of fear. We're afraid of what others might think if we were to actually take this whole Christian thing seriously. We're afraid of how the church might have hurt us in the past, that it might happen again. We're afraid of being judged. And for a lot of us here, we are living the apathetic Hakuna Matata lifestyle, in which we say, who cares to the world? Who cares to the joyful responsibility that God gives us of living into who we really are? We're satisfied with our jobs. We're satisfied with our families. We're satisfied with our social status. So who really cares about who God is calling us to be? No worries. See, the story of Simba cuts right to the core. It reveals to us all the ways that we have unintentionally and intentionally forgotten who we really are and who lives within us. And so the question is, how do we recognize if we are living differently from who God is calling us to be? And then what do we do? What do we do if we actually are?
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Appears in the clouds, and he speaks to Simba. You have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life. Remember who you are. Simba is reminded of the claim that was placed on his life and the identity that was deeply forged within his heart. Simba is king. He belongs in the circle of life. He feels the purpose that his life has. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he also calls his audience, which includes us, to remember who we are. So to paraphrase Paul, he says that Christ died to destroy sin, and he did. And then God raised him to new life, proving that sin and death no longer have any power over us. Jesus' new life is to God. And because we are united with Jesus in our baptisms, we also need to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin become who you are and control what you do. Rather, live your life for God, like someone who has been brought from death to life, because you have been in Jesus. Instead of being an instrument of sin, be an instrument of righteousness. For sin doesn't control you or define you. Grace does. Paul recognizes that we are so prone to forget this amazing truth that our identity is in God's grace. And later in Romans, in chapter 13, he writes, "You know what time it is. How it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep." He says, "Wake up, everybody. For salvation is nearer to you now and nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone and the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Wake up, Paul says. Quit acting like it's dark outside, because it is now daylight forever. So act like it. Remember who you are. In our baptisms, we were sealed by God's grace in Jesus to be alive, not dead. Compassionate, not indifferent. Forgiven, not held captive. Forgiving, not begrudging. Pure, not dirty. True, not false. In community, not alone. Loved, not hated. God's children, not his enemies. Remember who you are. Once Simba remembered who he really was, he could no longer live a different life. He left behind what wasn't true. He stopped living like it was dark, and because he saw that daylight was here. And knowing his father was with him, Simba returned home to face the past. And he courageously lived into what was the future and the present at the same time. He challenged his uncle Scar and he defeated him. And hope was restored.
It is time. Thank you.
so awesome. I think in this last scene, Simba is for us a picture of the obedient church. He has rejected darkness and lives into the light. And when he lives true to who he really is, the kingdom is restored. When we remember our baptism and live into the identity it gives us, we are revealing God's kingdom. We are revealing the kingdom which Christ has already restored. And in remembering our baptisms, we are remembering Christ. We are remembering Christ literally. We are becoming Christ's hands. We are his feet. We are his presence in the world, and we shine his light wherever we go. So to use Paul's language, when we wake up and we live like people have been brought from death to life, which we have been through Jesus, beautiful things take place. Beautiful things. And we begin to see the kingdom of God unfolding before our very eyes. And we start to realize that we have never been so alive. Remember who you are. And let us remember Christ in this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. We have the amazing opportunity this morning, not only in this time of sharing the word together, but in the physical acts to remember our baptisms, to remember the way that God forged within us an identity of being his beloved child, of proclaiming over us that grace, his grace defines who we are, that is not our sin. Our sin does not define who we are, and that we are children of the light. In the church, we believe that baptism happens one time, and for a lot of us, that happened when we were babies. And so remembering our baptism does not necessarily mean remembering the actual event, because for a lot of us, that's impossible. But if you can actually remember the event, that is a beautiful thing. What we are doing is we're going to invite you to come forward as you feel led. There are stations on the ends here and at the altar. And invite you to dip your hand in the water. You can just feel the water. Feel free to make a sign of the cross on your forehead. This is not an actual baptism. Nobody is being re-baptized, but we are rather reaffirming what God has already done in us, right? Reaffirming who God says we are, remembering that. And then, just as we saw with Simba, claiming that and living into it, right? As we remember who God says we really are, may we leave this place more alive than when we came in here, more in tune with who God's calling us to be. For some of you, you might not have ever been baptized before. And I and Chris and Pastor Danny would love to talk to you about baptism if you are interested in exploring what it means to be baptized and what it looks like to live as a baptized Christian. And so we can talk afterwards. Or if you feel that the Holy Spirit is moving in such a powerful way now that you're just ready to do the thing, then we invite you to come forward to our baptismal font here. At all the stations, there are a list of questions that were answered either by you or on behalf of you. And invite you, if you'd like, to just take this and to remember the responsibility, the joyful responsibility that God has given us in following Jesus. And if you are feeling led to the sacrament of baptism for the first time and only time this morning, we have a list of questions and invite you to just take a look at that. What a privilege it is to do this in community. And so I'll invite the band to come up and to play some music as this happens. And just as you feel led, invite you to come and to remember your baptism and be thankful.